Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life. At IIL.
Talking about exams and revision, I am joined on the line by Tanya McMahon, who is the IB Diploma Programme Coordinator at IIL. But we're talking today about all exams for any diplomas. Tanya, thanks so much for joining us at a very crucial time in terms of students' lives. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So, okay, just give us an update. Where are we now in terms of the exam timetable? Which exams have already begun? Which ones are about to start?
Well, the IB and the IGCSE exams started last week. A-level was on a pretty similar time frame. And they'll run for a few more weeks. The French BAC and the Swiss Maturité exams are a little later on this term.
Right. So what should students be doing now? I mean, I guess in terms of revision schedules, that kind of thing, that should already be made and underway.
Well, yes, but it's never too late to start planning, even if you haven't made a schedule at some point. Because I think one of the big problems in my experience is it can be very overwhelming knowing where to start. And having a schedule does help to reduce the stress because it means that you're allocating enough time to get everything done. So even if you're in the middle of a revision session, then having a daily schedule is important so that you have something you can tick off, tasks that you can complete, and something specific so you can actually feel well prepared. That's obviously very important for your stress level.
How ambitious should you really be when it comes to setting up that timetable, though?
Well, I think what you do need to do is be quite detailed. I mean, just sort of waking up in the morning and saying, okay, today I'm going to study geography, probably isn't that helpful. Instead, it's better to think through, okay, what am I going to do? Which topics am I going to do? Which concept am I going to concentrate on? And also think about when in the day you work best. Because again, if you're thinking about a schedule and you know, for example, you're a morning person, you work well when you first wake up, then maybe that's the time to tackle those tricky maths problems or, you know, and save the more passive revision, the watching the videos for later on in the day. It's all about gaining control, really, so that you feel that you have something that you can be working towards so that by the time you walk into that exam room, you're as well prepared as you can possibly be.
I was very guilty, though. My exam time, I know I did this. I spent too much time preparing the schedule, and I think I made it colour coordinated, and I got highlighter pens and I coloured it all in. And I would spend far longer on making the schedule than actually doing the revision, because ultimately that was more exciting to me and I was really procrastinating. I mean, that was the name of the game. So are there any tips around not actually wasting time?
Yes, well, I mean, again, if you have the schedule, then making sure you share it with somebody. So, you know, a parent or a family member or a friend, someone that who can just keep an eye on what you're doing. So, you know, they can follow you through the process.
Hold you accountable.
Exactly. that's important, especially if you do feel that you're somebody who procrastinates. I mean, there's a difference between procrastination and taking leisure time, for example. I mean, it's important to build into your schedule some sort of planned leisure time, and then you can take it guilt-free. But if you find that you're doing some leisure activities which aren't planned, then that's procrastination, and that's just going to lead to larger stress at the end.
What about making sure that you balance subjects that you might be naturally drawn towards versus others that you really, really don't want to get around to? Is it best to sort of, I don't know, put all of those into one day and just say, okay, I'm going to do all of these subjects or this particular subject on one day and really get it done? Or should you try and do little bits here and there just to try and break it down a bit?
Well, probably if it's something you really don't want to get down to doing, then breaking it up into segments is probably a good idea, because you have to ask yourself, will you really sit down and spend the day doing something that you don't like, or is that where you're more likely to become distracted? So maybe then, and if you do it a little bit by little bit, again, you will start to feel that you are gaining control, you're actually achieving something in that difficult area. Obviously, the difficulty is that we all tend to revert to things that we enjoy doing. And it gives us a nice warm, fuzzy feeling if we're revising things, studying things that we already understand.
Totally.
But obviously, in the end, that's not going to help you in the exam room. So you do need to have that sort of voice in your head saying, okay, this is all very well, but what do I not understand? You know, look back through those old tests, look to see where you lost marks and focus on those, because that's in the end what's going to make the big difference when you walk into the exam room.
I had flashcards and I also had spiral notebooks with lined paper. I remember that, and I used to copy things into it, and I used to work with a lot of repetition. So I used to end up copying from old textbooks and classwork books into this kind of spiral book that I would write everything back down again. Essentially just copying helped me. But technology has advanced. Apparently now we're using apps and stuff, and that's a legitimate revision technique.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Pretty much for any revision strategy that you can think of, there's an app to help you. So, for example, if you're somebody who likes flashcards, and let's face it, you know, flashcards are a good way of putting down important information you have to learn, then there are apps that you can download on your phone that will enable you to create those flashcards electronically. Now, that's a great thing because it means on your phone, you have your flashcards. So all that dead time during the day when you're on the tram and you're in the car, you can look through your flashcards. Mm. And also there are algorithms actually that are built into some of these apps that are intelligent in showing you flashcards at about the right rate to improve your retention. So based on neuroscience, there's a lot of research that shows that you will retain information if, in fact, you see it at not regular but irregular intervals. It's something called spaced repetition. And some of these apps are actually quite clever, and they will actually take the new and the more difficult flashcards and show those to you more frequently. And the ones that are on concepts that are not so problematic, or you've already got right many times, they'll show you those to you less frequently. And then overall, in that deck of flashcards, you're likely to retain more information.
What is the Pomodoro technique, Tanya?
Yes, so the Pomodoro technique is another thing that you can find many apps to help you. It helps you, again, managing your time. What it does is that in the Pomodoro technique, you basically set a timer for 25 minutes. And in that 25 minutes, you focus on one single task. When the timer goes off, you take a 5-minute break. You complete that 4 sessions like that. And after the 4th session, you take a longer break. Now, there are many apps available to help you follow the Pomodoro technique, because those 25 minutes of focus, you should be really concentrating. And then you can, you know, relax in those 5 minutes afterwards, obviously, guilt-free. But there are many apps also that give you rewards for the number of Pomodoro sessions that you follow. Maybe you can unlock rewards, or you can unlock games. So again, if you need an additional incentive to make sure that you are actually sitting down and focusing for short periods of time, then the Pomodoro technique can be very helpful.
Worth a go. All right, Tanya McMahon from IIL, stay there because I've got more questions. I know that you do some visualization techniques with some students, which could really help, especially if you're going into exam rooms today, tomorrow, well, probably not tomorrow, it's Saturday, but next week, if you are doing some exams coming up, stay tuned, because these visualization techniques and ways to manage stress can be really useful. Tanya, stay with us.
Learn more. Sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy. An education for life at IIL.
I'm talking about exams and revision with Tanya McMahon, who's the IB Diploma Programme Coordinator at IIL. And now we're looking at managing stress as we walk into the exam room. We are in the midst of exam season for some. So Tanya, for those who are really in the midst of this now, how would you recommend that people deal with the stress that comes with a season of exams?
Well, the first thing to realise is that obviously stress is normal. And in fact, some stress is actually good for you. You've probably heard of athletes talking about being in the zone. So a little bit of stress is going to just maximise your performance in the exam room. But obviously what you want to avoid is that paralysing anxiety as you walk through the door of the exam room, and which can have negative consequences on the outcome of the exam. So You need to, first of all, go back to basics. So obviously, it's important not to neglect the physical factors that can affect stress. So eating healthily, sleeping properly, taking regular exercise during the exam period, that's very, very important. And making sure that even with all the revision and the exams and everything, that you have time in the day to do something you enjoy. Then you can, if you are somebody who suffers from exam anxiety, then you can also maybe think about taking some time out in the day to do some mindfulness or breathing exercises. Again, if this is not something you're familiar with, you can find apps which will talk you through exercises. You can practice, and then before you go into the exam, you can maybe take a moment to get yourself into the right frame of mind.
One thing that's so key to remember, I think, is that a lot of people, when they're going into these exams at, say, 17, 18, that kind of time, most of us had exams a few years before. But these students now that are doing things like their IB and their BAC right now, they didn't have that in 2020 because of a pandemic, right? So this is sometimes the first time that some of these students have walked into an exam room.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, for some students, these are exams that really count. They will determine their university outcomes, and they haven't had a practice session, if you like, a couple of years ago.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say that obviously, you know, that as well is that it's important for students to actually visualize the taking of the exam, because they haven't actually taken an exam before. They need to actually go through that process of imagining themselves walking into the exam room and actually feeling prepared. They need to imagine that it's going to go well, because there's a lot of evidence, again, saying that stress is obviously associated with negative thoughts, and negative thoughts are a learned behavior. So if you're constantly saying to yourself, I'm going to go into the exam room and it's going to go terribly and I'm going to fail, then you'll be in that mindset. The first time something happens in the exam room that you don't expect, you think, well, this is it. This is when it's going to happen. This is when I'm going to do badly.
So talk to us about those visualization techniques. Do we just sort of have a seat, lay down somewhere, close your eyes and just think about the exam room?
Yeah, well, I think you try to maybe set up the same environment as you might find in the exam room. So sit somewhere quietly. Obviously, you're going to be in silence in the exam room, which is maybe something also you're not that aware of. And you close your eyes and you try to visualize yourself walking into the exam room, sitting down and having the exam paper in front of you. Now, maybe it's a good thing to think about your biggest fear. So maybe your biggest fear is, I'm going to open the paper and look at the first question and I'm not going to be able to do it. Now, that might happen. I mean, it happens in exams. You can't answer every question. You might open the paper and the first question might be that topic that you really hoped wasn't going to come up. But the important thing in the visualization is to think through, there is a way through this. Okay, maybe I can't do this first question. So what am I going to do if that happens? Well, maybe I'll just turn the page to the second question. I'll do that instead. And I'll come back to the first question later. And that way, you turn what could be a negative experience into something that you have control over. And if you have control over it, then you'll reduce the stress.
Nice. Being prepared, feeling prepared and going through that kind of visualization technique. And I guess, why would you say that this is all so important to do that? What are the risks if you don't?
Well, you know, in an exam session, students tend to have multiple exams back to back. I mean, they might literally do one paper, walk out of the room, have a 15-minute break, come in and do another one. Oof. Or have one exam in the morning, one exam in the afternoon. So they have to leave the exam room without somehow, well, feeling that they did the best that they could. And if they go into that exam with a negative mindset, and in fact, they feel the exam didn't go well, then of course that could influence the next exam. So they need to somehow be kind to themselves and forgive themselves and accept that we all have bad exams. And maybe everybody in the world found that exam to be difficult. And in the end, your grade will be fine no matter what.
You know what? Such a good reminder. Be kind to yourself. And it goes back to what you were saying about get the right sleep, get the right food as well. Like all of those back to basics, get the exercise and do a little bit of what you do enjoy doing as well. I wish everyone that is doing exams at the moment and has exams coming up the best of luck. And thank you, Tanya McMahon, for all of your tips this morning for any visualization techniques and managing stress, and also some of your revision top tips. I'm going to look up a little bit more of that Pomodoro technique. I'm quite intrigued. And do you know why it's named after a tomato?
No.
That's fair enough. Tanya, thank you so much for all of your help this morning. Wishing all the students that are doing exams right now the very best of luck. We've got the Swiss News coming up next.
Learn more. Sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy. An education for life at IIL.